Well, good morning. What I'm going to talk about today is some data we've taken out of some plots that have been in either conservation or conventional tillage since 1978. And the reason we're doing this experiment is my co-author Tom Ducey is a microbiologist, and he's studying the bacteria and fungi on the roots and in the soils in these systems. And the data I'm going to present today is the growth, the plant stuff to go along with his data set. All right, well, we know quite a bit about conservation tillage and water relations. We know that with conservation tillage, especially with a mulch cover, we have reduced soil water evaporation, which increases the ratio of transpired water to total ET, in total ET, because even though total ET would be the same, more water is going through the plants. In Lascano, back in 1994, showed a nice yield bump because of that change in the ratio. Bosch et al. Down in Georgia found increased infiltration with conservation tillage, and they found under their conditions that they'd get a net annual water gain of 60 millimeters of water just by using conservation tillage. And from that, they recommended for Georgia conditions maybe one less irrigation per year. Okay, and then we also know that higher organic matter content increases available water content. So if you're putting enough residues into the system to actually increase organic matter, you can increase water holding capacity of the soil. Okay, this is a picture of the plots from June 3rd, 2011. 2011 was a pretty dry year for us. It was quite striking to me how the difference in the plants went right to the row. This side is conservation or conventional tillage. This side is conventional tillage or conservation tillage. Part of the reason we were interested in the microbes is with all those things related to soil water and soil water availability, could it go right to the row like that? These plots are big plots. They're 75 feet wide. They're 200 feet long. There are 20 of these plots. 10 of them are in corn now, and 10 are in cotton, and we just flip back and forth every year. Give you a little history on these plots. They were started in 1979 when the Department of Energy decided that we were going to use residues for fuel. Sound familiar? So they started funding this work. But in 79 to 81, it was corn. Then from 82 to 86 was corn, wheat, soybean. 87, the plots were fallow simply because it was awful wet, dry year and nothing germinated. 87 to 89, we had a corn, wheat, cotton rotation. 98 to 2003, corn, wheat, double crop soybeans. Corn, rye cover crop soybeans in 2003 to 2010. And then the last few years we've gone into this corn and cotton rotation. All right, that's just a picture of the soil from these plots. This is, of course, conservation tillage and conventional tillage, and you can see the soil carbon by depth through the profile. Again, like everybody else, we're finding differences at the surface, no differences very deep. Even though we've had corn at least every other year, and often with a cover crop or a wheat cover crop or a wheat crop. So we've been putting quite a bit of residues into this system and not building organic matter all that quickly. All right, for the last 3 years, we planted Stoneville 4145. In May each year, we use typical agronomic and pest management practices. For our region, we have Roundup-resistant pigweeds, so walking the fields and pulling pigweeds is typical for many of our farmers, so we did it too. The data that I'm going to talk about today, we collected biomass in a meter of row at two-week intervals, beginning approximately 2 weeks after emergence. We analyzed those plant tissues for nutrient content, I've only got the first 2 years of nutrient content data that I'm going to talk about, and then I'm only going to talk about phosphorus and sulfur. We measured leaf area index with a Lycor wand in the plots through the season. And then when the plant started to water stress, we went out with the pressure bombs and measured midday leaf water potential, and then we measured cotton yield. All right, this is our rain data. And this was actually three very good years and with good crop yields. But 2013 was an exceptional year. This is almost 70% of our water in these 3 months. And as you can see, from squaring right through bowl fill, we never got dry. And very good rainfall of 35 inches during the growing season. The other 2 years were a little more, I wouldn't say typical, because what is typical, but 2012 we got a lot of rain early, up 6 inches within the first couple weeks of planting. And then pretty steady rains, a little dry period here, and a little dry period here in 2014, but good rainfall. All right, and with the good rainfall and good year, good seasons, we didn't find much any difference hardly in early season biomass accumulation. Here's the days after planting. Conventional tillage and conservation tillage, and you can see not really no differences except for this one day here in 2012 where conventional tillage was higher than no-till, and that was right after that 5-6 inches of rain in that year. Similarly with leaf area index, this is 2012 here. With days after planting, 2013, 2014. 2013, we couldn't get very much data because it was always muddy and wet out there, so we didn't get near the data we got from the other 2 years. But very few differences between conventional and conservation tillage during these 3 years in early season growth with leaf area index. This is one thing we did find. And it's not surprising that tillage influenced phosphorus concentrations in the plants. Again, this is just for 2012 and 2013. And as you can see, with conservation tillage, we did find higher phosphorus in the young plants in both of these 2 years than with conventional tillage. Part of the reasons Tom's looking at the mycorrhiza to see if that partially explains this increased phosphorus concentration. Sulfur, on the other hand, was lower. The higher organic matter probably tied up some of that sulfur and didn't make it as available. And so we had lower sulfur concentrations in the plants. None of the other nutrients were consistently different between these, well, at least in the first 2 years. Okay, and here's our midday leaf water potentials, both in 2012 and 2014. 2013, we didn't even have a chance to go out and get them. But you can see in 2012, when we started entering that dry period, we did find difference between conventional and conservation tillage, with conventional tillage being lower than conservation tillage. But in 2014, they really didn't separate much at all. We had two minor dry periods and not as much difference as we found in 2012. Okay, and here's our seed cotton yields in 2012 with conventional tillage. We had lower yields than with conservation tillage. In 2013, the year we had all that rain, probably it kept the plots too wet with conservation tillage, and yield was actually decreased. 2014, we didn't find any differences in growth or yield, and we similarly found or growth in water potential, and we simply found no differences in yield. It's really interesting that in 2012, even though we had this seed cotton yield increase, the conservation tillage for some reason had 2% less lint turnout, and it was significant and it was consistent across all five reps, which was very interesting, and turned out that the lint yields actually that year turned out to be exactly alike, even though we had more seed cotton yield. The other 2 years, they were both right at 40%, the only difference we found was in 2013, where lint yields were higher with conventional tillage when it was so wet, and we got a little yield depression because of all that rain in the conventional conservation tillage. So to sum up, at least in these three wet years, we found tillage didn't make that much difference on early season growth, either with leaf area, biomass, and most nutrient concentrations, except for, of course, phosphorus and sulfur, as I showed you. They were affected in this experiment. We found few differences occurred for leaf water potential when they did occur. As we expected, conservation tillage had higher leaf water potentials than conventional tillage. And though yield differences weren't considerable, in other words, conservation tillage didn't increase yield in these three wet years, we did have lower lint yield with conservation tillage in that one very wet year. So with that, I'll thank Cotton Incorporated for partial funding of this project and try to answer any questions. Wayne? Yes.
What is that?
We pulled a 6-inch sample. Kevin?
So you showed that leaf sulfur suppression is below any critical levels, or are they still adequate?
I think they were still adequate. We put 20 pounds of sulfur out at the beginning of the season. Obviously, it didn't hurt yields, at least in the 2 years we didn't have too much rain.